Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and this Aspire radio program, which we affectionately call Satsang, is for Sunday, July 16th, 2017. And I'm very grateful to be with you. We're going to take a look at letting go today. This is a big one for a lot of us. Letting go. What are we doing when we're letting go? And what is it all about to let go? And we're going to look a little bit at that. I have some wonderful questions from people who have been very kind and generous as to offer their questions to serve all of us. I want to remind you that these radio programs, along with our TV programs, are supported and funded and airtime and everything paid for by sponsors, people like you who listen to the program and find help in it. And I hope you will become a sponsor and help us in every way possible. Your tax-deductible gifts will go to purchase more airtime. And I want to thank my sponsors and those who are quarterly and monthly givers. They're my sponsors who diligently, lovingly, and kindly, patiently offer these beautiful radio programs and our TV programs to you via our website, also at aspire.org. You can see all of our TV programs from there. Many of them are being published on our website. We have many more to put up, so we're working as fast as we can. That's what we're doing, trying to make all this happen. And my website is gigantic. The body of my work is very, very big, and sometimes it just makes for problems on the internet. Forgive us. So we have to do certain things and wrangle certain things to make it all possible. So we're working diligently. Anyway, become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org and you will see Support Aspire. And if you click on that, you'll see a drop-down menu that says, Why Support Aspire? And you will find on that page everything you need to know about what we do with your donations and what they go to help people, how they help people, and serve humankind in a most unique way. Go take a look. Let's get on with it here. Letting go. It is a very difficult subject for people to think about. They struggle with it. Most people don't get it. We'd like to think we let go, but we didn't. And all of this goes on and on and on within us, to nauseam, for the most part. And we live our life and die in this regret and this unhappiness. We don't know why. We don't know what our problem is. For the most part, I find out as I listen to people in the counseling room and talk to people. So I thought I would grab some radio programs or some questions that I've gotten over the past, 6 months or so. And here they are. The first one comes from Aneto. Aneto. I need to let go of my childhood and all of the things that went on with this. Greg, how do I let it go? How, Aneto? This is a very difficult thing, Aneto, but it can be done. And you will probably have to do it over and over and over again, probably many times in your life, to really get it, to really sustain. And I want to say this to you, it probably will be a lifelong effort. And you need to be prepared for that. You need to be okay with that. A lifelong effort simply means that every day and every way you're going to be forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. So let's go into the anatomy of it for a minute. And this anatomy is very important to understand. Our bodies memorize everything. Our bodies are a storehouse of memory itself. Our bodies sustain memory and belief about those memories and how we see them. The mind interprets them, emotionally speaking, and that causes a great deal of difficulty for us because as we tend to look at what is going on in our past, we interpret it through the eyes of a person who is emotional, has genetic functions and dysfunctions. And a lot of the time, what we see, we don't want to believe we went through, or we see and we believe we went through and then exaggerate it and try to exonerate ourselves through exaggeration. And we do all sorts of things with memory. And we do the interpretation of it based on the idea of avoidance of pain and sorrow. And as long as I live in the avoidance of pain and sorrow, I will always be in pain and sorrow. That's just the way it is. It doesn't change because I say, well, that's the past and it's over. We either let go, as the old Zen saying goes, and release ourselves from it, or we don't let go and we're dragged into our past. And we really don't want that. So the thing to do, the way to deal with it, is through kindness. Now, let me get through this. Aneto, there is no way I am going to be able, or you, to give excuse to another person for their cruelty. Let's say your mother and father were very cruel and unkind to you. There is nothing in my genetics or yours that is going to be able to look at them and say, well, they were only doing their best. That's rationalizing their evil and my evil and my stupidity. And you see, you can't resolve anything through the human nature. That's the key. You can't resolve anything through human nature. Much as we would like to believe we could, we can't, and you won't. Now, you can sit there all day and say, well, I forgive them, and you won't be forgiving them. In fact, it'll be instilling in you resentment as the neurons make a path and a web inside our mind that is just repeating all of this, but it isn't changing any of it. You're not going to change anything by trying to make yourself believe that you have forgiven. Okay, so letting go here simply means this. You have to discover what you are and not live for who you think you are. That is the big one. And if you can't do that, if you can't live in that, if you can't understand that, if you can't be in that, then you got nothing. Then all you're going to be doing is spinning your wheels. And that is not good for you. And that is not good for what you're trying to do, which is noble, of releasing and letting go. So the practice is, you must step back from your emotionality. That's the key. If you can step back from your emotions, no longer allowing them to dictate to you what you are or who you'd like to think you are, and you start to see things in the light of a third-person reality, you will let go. In fact, you won't even be there to let go of anything. You are already there. It's already happening. It is as it is. You start to see that through all of the hubbub and the things that have happened that were good and bad and crummy and not crummy, you start to realize you've had enough. Holding on to resentment and holding on to fear and hate is not something you want to be associated with anymore. So you start to see it for what it is and how it works. Now you're in a position of consciousness. In consciousness, there is no hate, no resentment, none of that. It isn't even a consideration. And there really isn't a person or people to hate and resent in the first place when we're there. All that's there is swimming in consciousness. I can't begin to tell you how beautiful this is, how powerful this is, how helpful this is. I can't even begin to tell you, because the experience of it is transformational. So instead of me feeling really angry at you for maybe something you did, or I want to believe you did to me, I don't let that happen. I shouldn't say I don't let that happen. I can't be in that. It's like I can't swim in the Pacific and the Atlantic at the same time. It's either the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic. I can't do both. And if I'm wise, I will look at you and realize that holding resentment towards you doesn't help anyone or anything, especially me. It isn't helping me at all. Now, with that as my premise, with that as the wisdom of the heart, and living in the wisdom of the authentic heart, I begin to change the way I live within myself, because it's all about a shift from the human heart to the spiritual heart. So, Aneto, here's the way it works. You're going to have to pull back from your emotionality. You're going to have to let go of those emotions. And you're going to have to breathe to do that, taking breaths in and releasing your emotions, not what another person did or anything like that, but releasing your emotions. You're going to have to practice the breathing. The pattern is inhale, exhale. It's real simple. Keeping your focus on letting go. Keeping your focus on letting go of your emotionality, of seeing your emotions for what they are, and taking that breath into consciousness, the part of you that doesn't care about all of this, the part of you that is authentic. You keep breathing into it and breathing into it. It is only through the breath that any of this happens. And then suddenly, when you are ready, when you are willing, you have to make a lifestyle out of not being emotional. That's a big one. Where I am not living for my emotions, and that means gratification. Gratification is a very big deal to people and causes duality. I hope that helps you. Oh, I could go into much more of this, Aneto, but I've got to move on. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. I wish I had more time. Todd is the next one. He says, how does any of us get beyond our past? Todd, like Aneto, you don't have a past. Now, you may believe you do, and you may think you do. What is the past? Can you remember it? You remember what you remember of it. You remember what your mind will allow you to remember. Your mind, if it's like any of ours, and I'm sure it is, it thinks it knows everything. It thinks it understands everything, but it doesn't. It just thinks it does. So here we are in this life and in this lifetime, and we're missing our entire life because my mind, your mind, is interpreting that we have a past. And it's remembering it the way it wants to remember it. Whenever I bring the past into what I think is the present, I have created for myself misery. The object of life here in this particular, you know, segment of living is to be able to look at everything and see it for what it is and not attribute anything to it like good or bad or right or wrong. That will help you. to live beyond your past. You remember your past. There is no one else remembering it. Now, the people that were involved in your past are remembering their past via their minds, via their beliefs, via their lack of consciousness. So they go on and on and on doing the same thing you're doing. But if you really look at it and you really get involved in it, you'll see there is no past. There is no present either, like people will tell you. And there is no future. But we'll get into that in the next question. Your past is a memory. Your past is an illusion, a mirage. And you have created it through your mind and how your genetics work. My mind and your mind are prone to emotionality. That's how they work. And genetic dysfunction, which is how they work also. And when I understand that, when I'm living in that, I'm really getting it, I start to realize that the past is more than a memory. It is a non-entity. Now, I can make it an entity if I want to. I can make it an example. I can make it an issue. And unwise people do that. They make it an issue that it doesn't need to be. Now, if you want to do that, you can do that. But why? What's it going to serve? How will that help you? What will that change in you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the energy you're putting into trying to shame yourself for the past or pride yourself on the past is useless. It doesn't exist. Show me where the past is. Show me. It's only in the head. It's only in what you can think. And if you really trust your thinking, oh my gosh, you're in deep trouble. Because you know how prejudiced our thoughts are. They want to think that we're harmless, or they want to think that we're Till of the Hun. They go from harmless little lamb to Till of the Hun, and somewhere in between and to both extremes all at once. So why get involved in your past? If you are wise, you will get involved in developing consciousness, finding that gap and that pause between your breaths. That is where everything exists as love. And if you can immerse yourself in that love, immerse yourself in that consciousness of love, you can change the way you live your life. You can change the way you authenticate your living through consciousness and not some preconceived idea of right and wrong duality and the idea that there's some kind of moral thing going on here. If you've noticed, the world is not a very moral place. It does all sorts of things that are ugly. So you have to understand, we're not being ruled by some law that says you have to be this or you have to be that. We do live under tremendous laws, laws of cause and effect, laws of karma. We live under many different things that are very powerful in our life that we don't understand. But as we start to enter into consciousness, we begin to understand those things. We actually begin to have those things as our direct experience. And that's what makes our living so powerful and so beautiful. So start to look at your life a little differently right now. Start to see it for what it is. To look at your life, to look at your existence, to look at your living, and see it for how it works. It works as love. It works as kindness. It can work beyond the idea of thoughts. Thoughts only tear me down. Thoughts only make my life more difficult. And if I'm only in my thoughts, I can't be in my heart. The mind and the heart do not work together. They are absent from each other. The true heart that I'm speaking of. I hope that helps you, Todd. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. Is there a past, a present, and a future? If there is, how do I know if I'm living it right? Lisa. There is no past, and there is no present, and there is no future. But people will tell you this, teachers will even tell you this, to live in the now. There is no now. There is only states of being. There is no now. There is no then, and there is no future. We are a cosmos inside. We are constantly in the throes of creation. Constantly. We do not make states of life in this world. It only appears that we do. Because of our finite minds, because our mind is always trying to interpret everything via its own mechanism. You are consciousness. And that's what you're here for, and that's what you are, consciousness. To achieve this consciousness, to enter into this consciousness, is the very purpose of this living. Once we are entered into it, once we have come into the place of consciousness, time and space matter not. When you are in your profound state of pristine love, there is no past, there is no present, there is no future, because you have transcended this existence of earth and the laws that are here. You see a Lao Tzu, you see a Buddha, you see a Jesus. They have no past, present, and future. They are subject to consciousness. Their bodies are subject to the world. And that is the way it is. That's one of the laws that is. My body, your body, will be subject to the perils of this world, both the good and the bad, as it were, if you want to look at it from good and bad. But you are consciousness. And consciousness is not a matter of here and there. Consciousness is the presence that is love within you. And that has no time, no space, no distance. It isn't over here and not over there. And it has no circumstance to it. And because love does not have circumstance to it, because love is consciousness and consciousness is love, we have no past, present, and future. Those who want to stay stuck in trying to control their life will have this dilemma of past, present, and future. They need it because it causes them enough of a dilemma to live their life according to their mind and to the mind that lives here on earth. You want to do that? You're free to do it. But in the bottom line, you're putting yourself through your own misery. Ignorance is my greatest misery. It is the greatest misery of Gregory Penn, my ignorance. If you are able and willing to accelerate yourself into consciousness, you have something very beautiful. And you have something that changes the structure of your living in its totality. It means that love is everything. So there is no past, present, and future, Lisa. Work on consciousness. Develop it through compassion, love, and always through meditation. Meditation is everything. And if you allow meditation to be the way of your heart, you will find meditation is the way of your life. There we go. Wow. Forgive me, Lisa. Namaste. I want to thank you for listening. What an honor. What a true honor it was. And I hope that in some way we were able to serve you. If you ever have a comment, a question, or anything, you can email me at greg@aspire.org. It's real simple. greg@aspire.org. Wow. Oh, this life, it's so beautiful. Have a beautiful weekend, eh? Please forgive me. Namaste.